People, welcome back to the fourth installment of Two Guys Talking Football. I'm Chris Harris.
And I'm John Pittis.
And what a week that was in review.
Funny you mentioned our fourth installment, Chris, because this weekend is also the fourth installment of the Manning Brady Show in the AFC Championship.
Ah, you're right, it is.
And I'll tell you one thing, after the games we had last weekend, I think we're definitely in for a couple great matchups this weekend as well.
So as promised, let's review our picks from last week. John went 4-for-4, I went 3-for-4, but they were some pretty incredible games.
And we did go 2-for-4 against the spread, but don't worry about this week. We'll have a remedy to that.
So the first game to recap really quickly was Kansas City Chiefs against the New England Patriots.
What a game, Chris. Gronk, 2 touchdowns, like I said, against that defense. It was a close game, but the Patriots pulled it out in the end.
And the Chiefs put up a fight. They showed that they belonged in that game. It came down to a fumble by Nile Davis as the Chiefs were marching down the field in perhaps a game-tying drive.
But in the end, Bill Belichick pulled it out. The chess master in the playoffs, and the Patriots came away victorious.
He showed that you cannot make a mistake against a Bill Belichick-coached football team.
One of the games we didn't cover the spread in was the Packers-Cardinals. Cardinals pulled it out in overtime. Larry Fitzgerald, 2 words. That he's the man, he's the stud, he's back.
That's like 8 words. He had a 75-yard catch in overtime.
What was his yak, Chris?
Oh, his yak was 55 yards on that
play. He ran 55 yards, broke a tackle from Clay Matthews, but give credit where credit's due. Carson Palmer spun out of a sack, ran it into his center, threw the ball across his body to a wide-open Fitzgerald, who then ran it, 50 yards.
He basically answered Aaron Rodgers' overtime touchdown Hail Mary, which was his second of the season. His second Hail Mary of the season. First one to send him to overtime.
Props to Aaron on the Hail Mary, but also for knowing your rules. That coin did not flip.
It flipped less than a pancake.
Less than a pancake. And he called that ref out, and they reflipped it. Unfortunately, they lost it the second one as well, but props for knowing your rules, Rodgers.
If the NFL is listening to this, please change that rule in the playoffs. Let the other team have an opportunity to respond on offense. It leaves you wanting more from these games.
And then we go to the Seahawks-Panthers. That game was a blowout going into halftime. People don't read into the score. This was Carolina's game to lose. They were on cruise control in the whole second half.
They started off that game 31-0 at half, and then Seattle scored 24 unanswered points. An admirable effort in that comeback, but not enough to overcome these Panthers at home.
It was still a great second half to watch. Everyone had their eyes tuned to the TV. You didn't know if they were going to come back or not, but the Panthers pulled it out in the end, as we all thought. Then we go to the Steelers-Broncos, Chris. Another game that was lost by a fumble.
A fumble by none other than Fitzgerald Toussaint.
And this is important to bring up, Chris. You have Fitzgerald Toussaint and Nile Davis, both who fumbled and lost the game for their teams in those game-tying drives. Both backup running backs. This is where,
That's a good point. And it shows you just how important these playoff games are. You cannot make a mistake against these playoff defenses.
You look at a team like the Chiefs that behind stud running back Jamal Charles, who's been out since week 5, has a solid running back core with Charcandrick West and Nile Davis.
And Spencer Ware. That's a really good point, John. And compare it to a team like Pittsburgh, who lost Le'Veon Bell early on. They had D'Angelo Williams as a backup. And now Fitzgerald Toussaint. This could be the curse of the backup running backs right now in the playoffs. And the Pates should be weary.
Yeah, and unfortunately, it all came down to a fumble in both those games. But, it is the playoffs. Win's a win. We're on to this week, Chris. We have 2 awesome games. I don't know about you, but I'm super excited.
The number 1 and the number 2 team matchups in both games.
It's going to be great. Let's start with the New England Patriots.
Coached by Niccolo Machiavelli. Bill Belichick.
Against the Denver Broncos.
Who do you like, John?
I like New England. I've been saying it all playoffs long. You can't go against Belichick and Brady. They're the 1-2 punch that every team wishes they had.
It's a nice blueprint for a winning football team to have your head coach and your quarterback have such a close relationship. And Denver looks to mimic that with Peyton Manning and their chief of staff up top being John Elway. But it's not quite the same.
Chris, one thing resonates with me that you mentioned last week was New England's defense being a top 10 defense that's kind of been underrated most of the regular season and playoffs. Question. They played great last week, and look at them to kind of slow down, if not shut down, Peyton Manning this week.
It's interesting to note that New England is the favorite, even though they are away at Denver in Mile High, where the air is thin.
And, in Denver, obviously, with the best defense in the league, no questions about that. But we've seen Tom Brady beat great defenses before. I don't think this is any difference this weekend.
John, let's talk about this historical matchup between 2 Hall of Fame quarterbacks being Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. Peyton Manning, number 18, is in his 18th season in the NFL, and This is their 17th matchup against each other and their fourth matchup in an AFC Championship game.
That's great, Chris, but, you know, Tom's won 11 of those 16 matchups so far.
Yeah, but in the AFC Championship game, Peyton has a 2-1 advantage.
That's true. Why don't we dive into the last AFC Championship games real quick, just to give some context for this weekend's game.
Sure. The first AFC Championship game was back in 04 when Peyton played for the Indianapolis Colts, and Tom Brady won that matchup because Peyton had 4 interceptions.
And you know what else happened that season, Chris? The Patriots beat Carolina Panthers in the Super Bowl. Do I smell a repeat?
It sounds pretty telling. Maybe. To me. So, and the last matchup, Peyton was on the Broncos, and they won 26-16. Peyton threw for 400 yards and 2 touchdowns, and if you remember, they lost to Seattle in the Super Bowl.
What a blowout that
what
game.
What a schlonging. 43-8.
You know, Chris, one thing to note, in the 16 games that these guys have played against each other, they've thrown touchdowns to 108 different players, but can you name the one that they've both thrown touchdowns to?
It has to be Wes Welker.
Done. So our first game this weekend is the AFC Championship. We have the New England Patriots visiting the Denver Broncos. I think we're due for another great matchup for their legacies.
And I agree. And, you know, in this matchup, my heart says Denver. I think that in order for Peyton to solidify his legacy, he needs another Super Bowl ring.
I agree, Chris. Otherwise, Eli is going to give him crap every year at Thanksgiving.
Well, who do you think sits at the head of that Thanksgiving table?
Probably still Archie, but...
And Tom doesn't need a fifth Super Bowl ring. I mean, he still has time. He's not at the end of his career. So my heart says Peyton Manning, but after seeing him play last week, I don't know how I can really bet on him.
So, Chris, we talked about the quarterback matchup this week between the two teams and these two players, but what do you think the difference maker will be and who's going to win this game?
Well, it's not going to be at running back because the Pats don't even have a running game. We know last week in their matchup against Kansas City, their first 11 plays were all passing plays. Tom went 8 for 11, 80 yards, and a touchdown to Gronkowski. So they're going to come out slinging it. And Denver actually has a running game. They got 2 running backs with Ronnie Hillman and C.J. Anderson, and they might be able to get something going on the ground.
And they looked pretty good last week against Pittsburgh. Hillman had a few good runs. Anderson pulled off a pretty good run there in the fourth quarter. So I agree with you. I think that's pretty good. If you're looking at the running game, I think Denver has the upper hand on that.
But it's going to come down to the defenses, in my opinion. And we know that New England's defense has been playing pretty well. We know that Denver's defense is the number one ranked defense. Do they have the answer to Gronkowski? Can T.J. Ward coming back at safety stop him a little bit, slow him down?
I think you said it right there, Chris, for me, in my opinion. I think if they can slow down Gronkowski, that's their only hope at winning this game. I think it comes down to which quarterback navigates these defenses the best. And at the end of the day, though, I think Gronk is a great player. I think he's the difference maker. And I think Gronk and that passing attack with Brady tears apart this number one defense.
And let's give an honorable mention to the return of Julian Edelman at wide receiver. He was a difference maker in that last game, even though he had a few drops. He still is an X factor for the New England Patriots. So, John, how do we bet this game?
You know, I think we're going to rely on a little betting tool. My friend, I call the teaser. Even though I love New England to win this game, the safer bet this week is teasing Denver at home by 6.5 points and getting the under to 51.
So Denver plus 10. And under 51, I mean...
I think so.
I can't argue with that. You've been hot so far. In our next game of the week, a lot of people are dubbing the winner of this NFC Championship to be the favorite in the Super Bowl. John, what do you think?
I agree, Chris. This is going to be not only the best matchup of the weekend, but probably the best matchup of the playoffs, if not the season. I mean, you're the number one and number two team in the NFCs playing against each other. Carolina got dumped with snow this week in the blizzard. It's going to be an interesting game to watch. I think this could be better than the Super Bowl.
I like it, and I'll tell you why. We have two relatively healthy teams. Arizona has the slight edge on offense, but Carolina has the slight edge on defense. Weather very well might be the deciding factor in this game. How do you think Carolina plays in the weather?
You know, I think the weather plays to Cam Newton's favor. I think he's a scrambling quarterback. I think that D-line of Arizona is going to struggle to get down in the snow and sack him.
Well, let me tell you about that D-line because they got some players. We know that on the D-line, they got Calais Campbell, who's a Pro Bowler. They got Frosty Rucker. At linebacker, they got Dwight Freeney. He can still play. Kevin Minter has a ton of tackles this season. And in their secondary, they got Jerrod Powers and a Pro Bowler in Patrick Peterson.
It's a great defense, but why don't we dive into Carolina's defense? It's a little bit better. They got Charles Johnson at D-end, who they got back, you know, in the middle of this year. He missed a few weeks, but still a Pro Bowl caliber player. You got Quan Short, who's going to the Pro Bowl this year. The league's best middle linebacker in Luke Kuechly. And you got Josh Norman, whose name you've heard all season long, is arguably probably the best corner this year. And then don't forget they got Robert McClain and Cortland Finnegan playing nickel. I mean, this defense is just stellar. Arguably the best defense behind Denver this season. This defense has carried them places. And look what they did to Seattle last week.
I can't argue with that. I've given Carolina the slight edge on defense. And with Luke Kuechly and Thomas Davis at linebacker, that's probably the best linebacker duo in the league.
You know, but Chris, you know, these are great defenses, but these are also some great offenses that they're playing against. Arizona's probably the best offense Carolina's seen all year.
I can't argue with that either. We know Carson Palmer's having a record year, and Larry Fitzgerald.
The resurgence, yeah.
What a game last week. He showed that he can hang last week in that overtime comeback catch that netted 75 yards.
I think you're going to see Carolina's defense shut down the Arizona running game, so I think this is going to come down to the pass. So the real test will be, can the secondary Carolina stop that receiving core for Arizona?
And for me, the answer to that question is no. I think that both of these offenses are going to score. They're going to answer each other. It's going to be a close game. I wouldn't go so far as to say it's going to be a high-scoring game just because of the weather. But this is a matchup that everyone wants to see, and the winner of this game is going to be the favorite in the Super Bowl.
You know, Chris, I've said before, I like Carolina to win this game. I think they win by a field goal. But if you had to place a bet this weekend on this game, what would you do?
To keep things interesting, I'm going to take a page out of your book. I would tease this game. Take Arizona +9 and get that under at 54 points. I think these playoff games are so close that 6 points added to your total is going to make a difference.
That's a good option. I want to go a different route. I think you buy half a point for Carolina. Again, I think they're going to win by field goal. So get Carolina at -2.5. This game's going to come down to the wire in the end, but I think Carolina wins this by 3.
In other news, let's talk about what's going on around the league. Just keep people informed here. We know that Eddie Lacy is...
Called out by his coach.
Called out by his
Fatty
coach.
Fatty McLacy.
Feast mode. I think John liked that line.
Now onto the coaching carousel for this offseason. Hugh Jackson named the new head coach of the Cleveland Browns.
Known for getting pedicures while he was on the Oakland Raiders.
Could be the end of Johnny Football in Cleveland.
Could be the reemergence of Josh Gordon for Cleveland.
Doug Peterson, the O coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs, now the head coach for the Philadelphia Eagles.
And Chip Kelly, the former head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, now the head coach for the San Francisco 49ers.
Keep an eye on that situation, because we could be looking at the resurgence of Colin Kaepernick in that offense.
And keep an eye on the Buffalo Bills, with Rex Ryan teaming up with his obese brother, Rob Ryan. And a move that I really like, meet Catherine Smith, the NFL's first female full-time assistant coach.
So that's all we have for this week. We hope you guys enjoy the two games this weekend. Like we said, we're due for a couple of great games.
And best of luck to the teams that are still in the playoffs. And break a tackle.
Break a tackle.